Well, first thing we're going to do is open the Bible. I believe this is what God has given me. And he said in Philippians 4:19, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." And I think he's going to do that in Philippians 2:13. "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." This is my confession. This is my hard part. I'm supposed to do everything without complaining or arguing. It is hard. It is so hard for me. So pray for me that I become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which we should shine like stars in the universe as we hold out the word of life in order that Paul may boast of the day of Christ that he did not run or labor for nothing. So one of the things, I was supposed to do a children's story on Memorial Day. And I get this in the mailbox. And it's a publication from Hillsdale College. And this is called A Sacred Duty, A Soldier's Tour at Arlington National Cemetery, which I have been to as a field trip in school to see this. And I lived and raised my kids in Annapolis, Maryland. So the military and my first husband was in the Navy. So I'm very familiar with the military. And this gentleman who wrote this book called A Soldier's Tour, he was elected to the U.S. Senate from Arkansas in 2014. And he has a long list of things he's serving on. And he actually came to Hillsdale in April of 2019 and told this story. And what it says is, I really think it's a picture that says a lot. And he tells about the old guard, which puts all those flags on every single stone to honor, and he does it in a special way. He puts his foot down, he takes the flag and plants it right behind his heel. And depending on how honorable, he always salutes, but sometimes a little bit longer because they've got the Purple Heart or they've been honored with a bronze medal or some other thing. So I thought it was really important to remember our veterans and our dead. But talking about men, a long time ago, I became aware of sailors. What did they do? I'm going to need Bailey to hold this, because they made nets, and it's kind of like crocheting. They took a thread, what this comes from is a roll of thread. They took and made a loop, and they put the hook in the loop, and then they looped another loop through it. And then they go through the next hole, and they loop another hole through it. I'm making a belt for my black raincoat, and so I wanted to say, this is a job that men had. They had sailors that made sails, and they sewed. And they had tailors who made clothes, and they sewed. It's an honorable profession. They now have nurses that are men. It's always been considered a woman's job. Things are changing in this world, but we, as children of God, no, our job is to sew the whole of the people's heart together. So I asked you to remember this, that we have a job to sow. So now you can go back to your seats. Thank you.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. Isn't it a privilege to worship in God's temple each Sabbath? And this reminds me that the angels in heaven are constantly singing praises to God, and they are saying, holy, holy, holy. And when we come into the temple, we should constantly have praises on our lips and greet each other and just give God thanks and praise. Because very soon we may not be able to worship in a setting like this. And it is just such a great privilege to be here today. We have some special, you're all special, but I see some new faces, and I just like to welcome you to Brookings Church, and I hope that you'll come back again. You're all invited to join us for a fellowship luncheon today downstairs in the fellowship hall after the worship service. If there are any joys and requests, you can turn those in to Jamie for prayer. Pastor will do the membership transfer in a little while, but two reminders, Tuesday, June 18th at 6 p.m., there will be a church board meeting, and Tuesday, June 18th at 7 p.m., there will be a church business meeting. Also, please remember Great Controversy for Today's series continue Wednesday, June 5th, and the topic for this coming Wednesday is the Scriptures, a safeguard. So we're inviting you to come out on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Pastor will now do the transfer.
We would like to welcome by a vote. This is the second reading for Kelly and Kimberly Coy. Kelly, could you just raise your hand right there? Kelly and his wife Kimberly would like to have their membership officially transferred to our congregation. They've been attending here for a long time, but we're really happy to have them be actual members on our church books. So do we have a motion to receive them? Do we have a second? And all in favor say amen.
Amen.
And we welcome you. We're happy to have you. And whenever someone joins a church, whether it's by transfer or by baptism, I like to make an invitation and ask, is there anyone else that would be interested in joining our congregation here? Is there anybody else who would like to join Kelly and Kimberly? If you would like to, please let me know and I can explain the process. Our family is growing, and for which we are thankful, and let us continue as the family of God.
Something else I'd like to do for coming to fellowship, and that is for us to go around and greet each other, especially those who are visiting with us. So you may go get up and just greet each other.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Sabbath. Well, I'd like to read the joys and requests now. We have a national request from Franklin Graham, asking all Christians nationwide to pray for God to intervene and ask God to protect, strengthen, encourage, and guide the president as he travels across the Atlantic and give Traveling Mercies a special day of prayer for the president as he and his family travel over to England. And we know that God hears and answers prayers and can soften hearts. And so we have that prayer to keep in mind and lift up to God. We have one from a few weeks ago that's very important, although it's a few weeks ago. It's from Petra. Her praise was, now we have to remember last week was a special Sabbath. So this is from 2 weeks ago. Her praise was, I thank the Lord daily for his presence and improving my health. Her request was that she was asking for an important, very important, unspoken request, and to keep that in our prayers. And that.
Okay, it's answered. The prayer is answered.
Oh, praise God. All right, that request was answered. God works wonders. Still, she thanks him for his presence. This one's from Brandy. This one is about Wayne's son, who is graduating next week. And both Brandy and Wayne are very proud of him. And also, in Brandy's request, Tuesday the 11th, she's flying to Iowa, and she's asking for protection and traveling mercies as she flies back with her son Noah on the 15th. And I'm so happy that we're going to get to see Noah, but we'll pray for her traveling mercies. And plane jet safety. And Wayne has one for himself. He has a praise that he is just so happy to be in the sanctuary and here on Sabbath. And his request is for himself to understand what he needs to do and how to pray, and for his family to come to Sabbath. And Terry Knighton has a special one. She has a praise for God's comfort in all trials. And her request is for her husband, Dean. He has very bad blurred vision in one eye, and it's troubling him. We have one from Evelyn, and her praise is she's so thankful for Tyler, her son, arriving safely, and that the water is running again. Okay. Well, I have a praise that I'm feeling great and that I can be here at Sabbath service also today. And I have a request for our dear friend Dottie that her health continues to stay good. So if we are able, if we could all kneel, if we're able, we'll pray now. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you on this beautiful Sabbath. You are almighty, powerful, and hear our prayers. We want to praise you because you love us and because you hear our prayers. You love us, and we love you for loving us first. So we lift up these joys and requests to you this morning. We ask that you bless Brandy as she travels in a few days, and that you give her traveling mercies, and that you bless Noah as he gets excited to come back to Brookings to see us here, and that you bless them on their return journey on the 15th. We ask that you bless Wayne as he continues to grow in his faith and continues to understand what it is he is to do every single day in prayer and how to reach others, and as he continues on his website in reaching others. We thank you for Evelyn's praise about her son Tyler. We thank you for Petra's prayer request being answered, and that you continue to comfort her and give her health mercies, and that she is able to continue to join us here on Sabbath mornings. And we ask that you give comfort and continued health to our dear friend and loved one, Dottie, and in there in Grants Pass. And we miss her every day. I know I do. We ask that you bless our congregation continually and our pastor as he gives us and brings us our service message this morning. We ask that you bless Terry's husband as he continues to struggle with his blurred vision in his one eye. We also thank you for loving our congregation and all of your children. And as Psalms 156 says, everything that has breath should praise you. And every breath in this sanctuary this morning praises you. We love you. And if it be your will, we ask that you hear these supplications, requests, and praises we've lifted up to you this morning, and that you hear them through the sweetness of our voices. And we thank you for everything you do for us on a daily basis. You admonish us to pray, and no matter how big or small our requests are, you will hear us. And thank you for that in our Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The scripture reading today is Romans 13, 8 and 10. Romans 13, 8 and 10. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. The word of the Lord.
I'd like to invite my family to come forward. We have a song we'd like to share with you. The song, the words of the song, if we could have them up on the screen also, because there will be a part where you can join in. This song is a song that I remember singing at Bible camp when I was in high school at Mountain View Academy, and I thought of the song in connection to celebrating our debt freedom last Sabbath, and of the fact that Jesus Christ has paid our debt. He paid the debt he did not owe. I owe a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, amazing
sent. On Calvary he saved my soul, set me free. I'm glad that Jesus washed all my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay.
Let's join in together.
He paid the debt he did not owe. I owe the debt I could not pay. To wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. One day he's coming back for me to live with him eternally. Won't it be glory to see him on that day? And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. He paid the debt he did not owe. I owe the debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay.
Amen. Go sit down. You can go sit down. As we celebrated our freedom by burning the mortgage last Sabbath, it was a milestone, to be sure. Is there any feeling better than the feeling of being free from debt? It's one of the best feelings that we know in this world. Because finances are a part of life. Did you know that in the Bible, finances are mentioned over 2,000 times? They're mentioned more than prayer and faith are mentioned, because finances are just a part of life. I remember a friend of mine who had done very well in a private business, and a favorite statement that this person used to like to say was, "If it doesn't work financially, it doesn't work." And I like to tell couples, if I'm doing any premarital counseling, no finance, no romance. It just seems that money is a part of life. Many of Jesus' parables were about finances, or he used financial terms to describe spiritual truths. Think about the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Financial terms describing spiritual realities. Or our closing hymn, Jesus paid it all. I looked up the word debt in the Bible, and I found that it occurs 18 times. Sometimes the idea of debt is mentioned where it doesn't use the word, where it uses the word owe. And our scripture reading had both words, owe and debt. But I want to take a few minutes today and look at some of these scriptures together and some of the lessons we learn about debt in the Bible. The first one is that we have a debt to God. Did you know that you have an unpaid bill in heaven? It's called sin and guilt. And I have it too. And the payment is very high. Perfect righteousness. A perfect righteousness without ever having sinned or ever having incurred any guilt. Now that would be kind of hard for us to pay, wouldn't it? Because we know that we have sinned. Jesus described this debt that we owe to God in a parable in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 23, where he gave this concept and this truth. Matthew 18, verse 23, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants." And verse 24, the servant comes into the picture. "When he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents." A large number. We'll talk about that in a minute. And in verse 25, "But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold." That was a stern era, wasn't it? A hard age in which to live. "With his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made." Verse 26, "The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.'" And verse 27, "Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt." Imagine how that man would have felt under those circumstances. When the original readers of Matthew's gospel would get to this story and would read this, that someone owed 10,000 talents, it must have been a very incredible thing for them to read, because it was a debt that was so large, they probably never heard of anybody that would have a debt like that. That is a huge number. A talent was a measurement. And depending on what kind of talent it was, I can give you an idea in today's dollars how much this man owed. If the talents were of gold, in today's money, according to the value of gold now, this man owed over $11 billion. If the talents referred to in the parable were talents of silver, it would still be a huge amount. It would be over $160 million. Who would ever be able to pay a debt like that in common, ordinary life, or even in among the wealthy? That would be an incredible amount to pay for a debt. No one could pay that debt. And that was the whole point of the story. And spiritually, the lesson is very clear. The debt that we owe to God is much greater than any of us could ever hope to pay. And any idea that we could do it by doing some good works, even all of our life, is foolishness. Job was told by one of his friends, and you know, his friends are not known for their sensitivity and all the things that they said, but a lot of what they said was very true. Maybe it wasn't the right time to say it. But Job was told, "Is not your wickedness great and your iniquity without end?" That's in Job 22, verse 5. That's a true picture of our debt to God. Our iniquity, our debt is endless. There is hardly any way to measure it. But the good news, as the parable revealed that we just read, is that there is hope of forgiveness. There is forgiveness through Christ. Amen. Because of what Christ has done for us. He paid the debt he did not owe. We owed a debt we could not pay. And we needed someone to wash our sins away. And we should feel a similar kind of relief and peace that the man in the parable felt when he was forgiven, when we think about the forgiveness of God of our sins. Imagine how you would feel today if you were a graduate a couple of weeks ago at Morehouse College. Did anybody hear about what happened at Morehouse College? Okay, I see one hand. You're sitting with about 400 other graduates in the hot sun of an outdoor graduation, and there's all kinds of ceremony and speeches, and someone stands up and says, I'm going to put some gas in the bus of all of you graduates, and I want you to know that my family and our foundation has paid all of your student debt for every graduate, of 400 graduates. A billionaire philanthropist by the name of Robert Smith. I had never heard of Robert Smith before this story. And one of the students shared as he, the video we watched, he said, I was sitting there and he was going on and I heard him say something about paying off our debt and it didn't register. I thought, what is that? It must be too hot. Maybe I didn't hear right. And it took a few moments before it began to dawn on him what he had just been told. And some of these students owed up to $200,000 in student debt, or $100,000, or somewhere in between, or less. And can you imagine how you'd feel? You're a student graduating, you don't have a job yet, and even the job you're going to get maybe is going to pay $40,000 or $50,000 a year startup, and you've got $200,000 in debt. You would be excited to hear. It was a $40 million gift that paid the debt for all of those students. And I don't have the opportunity to show you the picture today because it's a copyrighted picture, but a photographer got the students at just the right moment, you know, with their mouths wide open like that as they realized what this man had said. It was catching because a barber in Charlotte, North Carolina, heard about what this man had done for these graduates, and she got an idea, and she got on the phone and called the local high school, East Mecklenburg High School in Charlotte, North Carolina, and asked, are there any graduates that owe something to the school? And I thought public school students wouldn't owe anything, but there were some that did owe because of marching band fees and stuff like that. And there were 14 graduates at this high school that were not going to be able to march, not going to be able to get a diploma because they had unpaid debt to the school. And so she started a GoFundMe campaign. She raised $1,000 through that. She needed about $4,000 some to help pay this. And a daughter of a professional football player, Thomas Davis of the Carolina Panthers, his daughter saw this and she told her dad, you know, football players known for having a little bit of extra money. And he contacted this barber and he said, whatever you need, I'll pay the rest of it. He gave $4,000. And all those 14 students were able to march in their graduation because of a debt that was paid. Now, student debt paid off is a burden lifted. A church mortgage paid off is a burden lifted. But how much more a burden is lifted by Jesus Christ, who has paid our debt, our spiritual debt? I think of some promises in the Bible. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And our favorite promise, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Thank God for those promises. It's even greater than a student debt or a church mortgage. Now, in the parable that we read about the man that was forgiven the 10,000 talents, unfortunately, that story, or fortunately because of the lesson that it teaches us, it does not have a happy ending. Because after this man was gifted with this wonderful forgiveness, he went out and ran into a friend of his who owed him several thousand dollars in today's values. And that wasn't that much compared to what he owed. You could pay off a debt of several thousand dollars in time. But he did not show mercy to this man and managed to get him thrown into debtor's prison. And of course, then when the judge found out about that, he was informed by people who observed what happened. He called this forgiven man back in and said, What did you do? I forgave you all of that. And you weren't willing to forgive your friend. You are sent now to prison. And that's where he went. What this shows us is that when we receive a gift of debt forgiveness, of whatever kind it is, there is something more after that. There is a new kind of debt that we incur, a debt of thankfulness, a debt of love, a debt of service, a debt of gratitude. It's wonderful to be forgiven, it's wonderful to be set free, but it's also a gift of responsibility. And so that brings us to the next text about debt that I want to look at with you, and that is that we have a debt to share. Forgiven sinners have a debt to share this news with others who don't know it. We must share Christ. We must tell the good news. The flowers and the trees and the skies and the seas have a silent witness, but we have a spoken witness, a verbal witness of hope and of healing through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1, verse 14, the Apostle Paul brings this out clearly in the very first chapter of Romans. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, the Jew first, and also for the Greek. A wonderful text about the debt we have to share Christ with other people. And we have our own little world that we live in here, and we have people that we know. But I want to throw some numbers up on the screen. And the first one, we'll see if we can get that one up. I'll talk about the whole world for a minute. I asked this a few months ago, and someone might remember. Okay, there it is. This number that you see on the screen is the number of languages in the world where we have literature or a preacher in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Isn't that an amazing number? 950 languages in the world where we have literature and a preacher. I have not shared with the congregation the number of languages that we do not have literature or a preacher. And that's the number that you're going to see right now. You could put up the next number. Anybody want to guess? Oh, there it is. Someone once asked how many languages there are in the world. We were at a big 3ABN rally, and the minister they asked, he said, all of them. He didn't know how many languages there are. And it's kind of difficult to pinpoint exactly how many because some languages are a mixture of another language and so on, but there's somewhere around 7,000-8,000 languages in the world. So 6,050 languages where we do not have literature and we do not have a preacher. That number is astounding. It's almost as astounding as, or maybe more so, the first number. Now, I don't want you to get discouraged by hearing these statistics, so we'll go to the next slide because that has another number, 20 and 10. And what this is that the missiologist, that is the student of world mission that helped with the general conference, and I got this from a phone call from the founder of Adventist World Missions, and he works for the General Conference now, going around the world surveying the needs and opportunities for missions. And he's the one who gave me the 950 number, and he's the one who gave me the 6050 number. And he said, if in the course of the next 20 years, if 10% of the graduates of every Seventh-day Adventist college around the world were to devote themselves to reaching that 6,050 language number, that every unreached people group could be reached in 20 years. In 20 years, if 10% of every graduating class of every Adventist college would go out as missionaries, you could actually reach that number in 20 years. What can we do in our little part of the world in connection to this? Last Sabbath, we had a wonderful Sabbath here, didn't we? A lot of people, a lot more people than we usually have. And it was a great opportunity. And there were people that were here that was their very first time. You know, the last two Sabbaths at Gold Beach, there were 20 people both Sabbaths, the previous two. I'm not sure how many there are there today, but one of the things that has really helped there at Gold Beach has been the live streaming that we've started to do, and it has made a difference. But each one of us has our own world of people that we know, our neighbors, our friends, our hairdresser, and so on and so forth like that. Let us do what we can to share the good news with the people that we come in contact with, that God has brought to us. One of the things that we like to do sometimes at a restaurant, when we're about to order our food, we tell the waitress or the waiter, we're going to have a blessing on our food in a little bit, and we would like to know if you have a prayer request. And we've done this a number of times. Doesn't always work great, but sometimes it does. Sometimes it does. And I remember one time I was with the kids at a restaurant, and Elena had to be away that time for some reason. But we were at this restaurant, and we got in conversation with this waiter, and we mentioned this. You know, as soon as he knew that we believed in prayer, he just warmed up to us. He started talking to us about some of the family needs and so on. It was really a great thing. It won't work with everyone, but sometimes it works really well. There was someone here just last Sabbath that was for the first time in our church, and this lady asked me, could you tell me about your prophecy meeting? She saw the picture out there, your Wednesday night prophecy series. And so I found a copy of the book, the Freedom. It's a great controversy, but it's a new title that we've been using, and I gave her a copy of the book. Keep some literature handy to share with people who ask questions. We have a debt to share. We have a debt to give the message. How do we increase our power for witnessing, though? Oftentimes we may feel, I don't know, you know, that I can really witness that well. Why would anybody want to listen to what I have to say? But you know, the Bible tells us that there's a way that we can add weight to our words, and that is by the transformation of life that we experience through Christ. And that brings us to the third debt that is mentioned, and this is also from the book of Romans. We have a debt not only to God and not only to share, but a debt to be something. We have a debt to be something, to be Spirit-filled Christians. And this is spoken of here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11 and 12. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Now, the focus of this is the Holy Spirit that can dwell in you and change us. Now debtors comes into the picture. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. But verse 13 talks about the Spirit again. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And verse 14 reminds us of the Spirit-filled life. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The gift of the Holy Spirit is the gift that we need in order to be the kind of people that we want to be, that God wants us to be. And if people can see that there is a change in us, if people can see Jesus in us by the power of the Holy Spirit, it makes a difference in our witness for Christ. I remember when I graduated from the seminary some years ago, one of my teachers and his wife, who I had gotten friends with and become acquainted with during the time I was there, he had a piece of property that he was preparing to build a house, and he asked if I could help him clear the land, and there was some other work that I did for them around their other house, and I found out that this teacher's wife had been a friend of my mother back in the day when they were in nursing school. I worked for them quite a bit and became good friends. And they gave me this gift when I graduated. It was one of these little wooden boxes, you know, beautifully crafted. And I opened it up. It had a pen and a pencil inside. It was a pen and a pencil set. And they gave me this gift and they said, now, this gift has a message in it. We want you to keep in touch with us. We've given you the pen that you need in order to write to us. And so I did. I remember using that very pen and the months and years that followed when I had moved far away from the seminary. I would write to them on occasion and update them about what was happening in my life and keep in touch with them. They had given the gift, and what a mistake it would have been for me to just ignore it and just lose that pen and pencil and not even write a note to them, not thank them, not keep in touch. And it's like that with the Holy Spirit. God has given since the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit has been made available to the church. And sometimes we walk around with our umbrellas. You know, we don't want the latter rain of the Holy Spirit for some reason. And we need to throw our umbrellas away, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that God has given, made it richly in abundance for us, and we can experience a changed life as a result of that, that will be seen in the things that we say and the things that we do and just who we are as people. That brings us to the next one. Number four, we have a debt to love. We have a debt to love. We have a continuing debt to love our neighbors, our coworkers, our classmates, our teachers, if we're in school, our parents, anyone whom we happen to meet. And this one is mentioned in our scripture reading that Valentina read for us today in Romans chapter 13 and verse 8. Owe no one anything. There's about debt, isn't it? Except there's one kind of debt that is good, except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. And it's specifically talking about the second part of the Ten Commandments, you know, that talks about how we treat people. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And verse 10, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. The 13th chapter of Romans, which this text comes from, is a whole chapter about after the gospel has been presented in the previous chapters. This chapter is about how to relate to the outside world. And if you read this whole chapter, you find there's a section in it about relating to the civil authorities and so on, and people maybe that you don't know in the church always, but people that you have to relate to in the world. And in that setting, it reminds us of the need to love according to the Ten Commandments. Outsiders and insiders, everyone that we come into contact with, we are accountable to God for how we treat other people. The New International Version of this text says, owe no one anything but the continuing debt to love one another. My mother, when she was growing up, went through a period of time in her life where she actually had to live with another family. Her mother had passed away when she was 12 years old, and her dad was dealing with the challenges of getting along after that. And because of some other things, and I won't go into all the details, a family was willing to take my mother in Long Beach, California. And for a number of years, this was her home base. And if I ever heard a name over and over when I was a kid, it was the name of the Johnsons. That was the name of the family. My mother would talk about the Johnsons, and all that they had done for her. And this family had daughters that were a little bit younger than my mom, but close enough that they were like sisters for her. And my mother lived with them for a number of years. She went through school. Most of the time was in boarding school there at San Pasquale Academy, and then going on to actually paid a portion of my mother's tuition through nursing school. And years later, when my mother had gotten out into her workaday life as a nurse, she actually wrote a check and brought it to the Johnsons. There was some kind of a family get-together. And she offered this check to pay Dr. Johnson back for his help with her tuition and just kind of what little she could do. What could she do for what they had done for her? And she told me that Dr. Johnson took that check and ripped it up right away and let her know that what he had done for her was a gift. And she told me that she wondered, well, what can I do to repay them? What can I do to thank them for what they have done for me? And she shared that she discovered that there was one thing that she could do. And it wasn't something that she could do directly for them, but that simply because she had been the recipient of this kindness, this hospitality, this sacrifice on their part, that she could repay them by showing that same kind of love and hospitality and kindness to the other people that she would meet in her life along the way. And as they saw her in turn doing the same thing for others that they had done for her, that they would feel abundantly repaid. And I got along in that phase of her life because growing up in her home, you know, of course, we had many times people coming to our home, living in our home. We had one summer when a whole family came. They were moving to Idaho from the Midwest, and they needed a place to stay for a while. And they took over, gave them my bedroom. And my bedroom that summer was the space between the wall and the couch that had been pulled out from the wall in the living room. And I slept on a pad and a sleeping bag there. I don't remember suffering from it too much. And we had that family there, and it was kind of nice to have some more people around, and they had kids that were my age too. And so that one, and there were others, and I received a benefit because then one family came and stayed, and relatives of theirs then took me in when I went to pastor in a part of central Idaho where rents were difficult to come by, and they let me actually stay in their home for a period of time when I was getting started in my ministry in Cambridge and McCall, Idaho. It was a debt of love and helpfulness that was paid in a special kind of way. And we show our thanks to God by the way we treat other people. And my grandfather used to say, we are accountable to God for how we treat every human being. What about our finances? And I'll just end with this very quickly. We have paid off our church debt, and that's a great feeling. But our needs as a church have not ended, and our financial needs of the church have not ended. Romans 15:25 reminds us of our debt to give. But now I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, Paul wrote. Verse 26, for it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. So you've got Gentiles helping Jewish Christians. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. That is, the Gentiles are actually the debtors to the Jewish Christians because of the gospel that they learned from the Jews and about a Jewish Messiah. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. When we've received spiritual blessings, God wants us to remember the material needs if we've received spiritual blessings. I read in some of the history of the church here that between 1943 and 1993 here in the Brookings Church, you know how many church members there were in that period of time? Over 600 church members that attended as members of the Brookings Church between 1943 and 1993. And that was mentioned when they had their 50-year celebration. How many members have been baptized and have transferred into our church here in Brookings since 1993? I don't know the number, but it's certainly probably a large number, and it's a lot more now than 600. But each of these people, some more and some less, have been supportive of this ministry, either through their finances or through help, whatever they could do, whatever they could give. This building has been a venue for ministry now for many years, since 2004. And the church members here have been faithful, and the mortgage is paid, thank God. But the work is not finished. The work is not finished. We have more opportunities for ministry. And let's remember that Gold Beach is also part of our ministry. It's a part of our mission field. There's going to be a cooking school in Gold Beach in September, and we're going to have one here in October, a cooking class. These are programs that where we have needs. We're going to be doing on November 10 the Healthy Kids Northwest program, which is a health expo to reach out to kids. But who brings kids to programs? Parents. It's not only for kids, but also for an outreach to parents. After that, we're going to be having our Let Freedom Ring youth evangelism, and we're looking forward to the possibility of a concert here in December, and I want you to pray about that because we've been in touch with Fountain View, and there may be, I don't want to say too much because it's not confirmed, they haven't made up their schedule yet, but wouldn't it be great to have Fountain View here for a concert in December? You think we could get a few more people in through the doors through that? I think that we could. We have a debt to give, a continued debt to continue giving, whether it's by kind deeds or by financial contributions or by being the kind of people that God wants us to be. Jesus paid our debt. Let us remember the debt of love and gratitude that we owe to him, to others, and to the church. And let us also remember that God loves a cheerful giver. Now, this is not a job that we have to do in order to be saved, but a joy to perform because God has given us salvation through Christ. So as we close our service today with the song, Jesus Paid It All, let us remember what he's called us to do, what he's called us to be, because of all that he has done and has continued to do for us, is my prayer. Amen.
Please stand. Hymn number 184, Jesus Paid It All.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength.
Keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.